Hi, this is Rick. This is a toolkit resource with the keyword Rogers. It's a very brief discussion of Everett Rogers' classic book called Diffusion of Innovations. This book has gone through many editions. It's an extremely important book for people who are interested in the subject of diffusion of innovations. That is, how do innovations get accepted in various cultures? Now, if you're somebody who is a very practical person and you just want to know, what do I need to do and I want to make sure that it works, this probably isn't the book for you. There's great stuff in it. You'll be able to find those kind of things, but there may be way too much theory for you. For other people, people like me, who happen to like to know the research, like to have the stories, like to consider options, it is a wonderful book. One of the things that makes it wonderful is he pulls together a wide variety of research on diffusion of various kinds of innovations, often technological innovations. But he tells good stories, too. So you're not just looking at a book full of statistics. You know, you're hearing the stories and going, oh, that's why that works. So I want to tell you a couple of those stories right now, and I'm just going to give you a few highlights. This relates to Chapter 6 of Beyond the Wall of Resistance, Making a Compelling Case for Change. And I'm going to quote him. The predisposition of individuals influence their behavior toward communication messages and the effects that such messages are likely to have. Individuals tend to expose themselves to ideas that are in accordance with their interests, needs, and existing attitudes. Individuals consciously or unconsciously avoid messages that are in conflict with their predispositions. This tendency is called selective exposure. I love that phrase. Here's another quote. How are needs created? A need is a state of dissatisfaction or frustration that occurs when one's desires outweighs one's actualities, when wants outrun gets, G-E-T-S. An individual may develop a need when he or she learns that an innovation exists. Therefore, innovations can lead to needs as well as vice versa. Some change agents create needs among their clients through pointing out the existence of desirable new ideas. Thus, knowledge of the existence of an innovation can create motivation for its adoption. By no means are perceived needs or problems a very complete explanation of why individuals begin the innovation decision process. In part, this is because individuals do not always recognize when they have a problem, nor do individuals' needs always agree with what experts might think the individuals need. He quotes Professor Edgar Dale as saying, "We may want food and not need it, and we may need vitamins and minerals and fail to want them." Here's something on change agents. He has a whole section on change agents. Change agents usually differ from their clients in most respects and have most contact with clients who are most like themselves. I'll give you an example. People in my field of organization development go out to work in organizations, and often the first group that they meet are human resource people or other internal organization development or training and development people. And a big mistake for consultants to make is to talk with these people, develop relationships, and think that they're talking with the actual line managers. And the problem is that the outside consultant, whether it's an internal consultant in your organization or not, they're still an outside consultant to the project. They're talking to people who think like them. And the problem is they miss the very kinds of conversations they need to be having. I'm telling you this out of very painful experience fortunately from my younger days. Rogers talks about the various stages in the process of getting an innovation accepted and implemented. And here's just a short piece on the decision stage. One way to cope with the inherent uncertainty about an innovation's consequences is to try out the new idea on a partial basis. Most individuals will not adopt an innovation without trying it first on a probationary basis in order to determine its usefulness in their own situation. This small-scale trial is often part of the decision to adopt. In some cases, an innovation cannot be divided for trial, and so it must be adopted or rejected in toto. Innovations that can be divided for trial are generally adopted more rapidly. And let me go over the chapter headings with a few comments. It'll really give you a sense of what this book is about and whether it's a book for you. Elements of diffusion. What is diffusion? The four main elements of diffusion. A history of diffusion research. This is really good stuff, by the way. Chapter 3, the contributions and criticisms of diffusion's research. The generation of innovations. The innovation decision process. And he includes a model for innovation decision making. Attributes of innovations and their rate of adoption. Innovativeness and adopter categories. And so he talks about that early and late adopters. And let me throw in my two cents worth. A lot of people will cite this kind of thing of early adopters, late adopters, and all that, and say, well, that's just the way it goes. And I disagree. Organizations can shift the balance in their favor. If you skip the making a compelling case for change stage, for instance, you're going to have a lot of late adopters. It's going to go away from that bell curve. But I've seen leaders who really make a great case for change, and they get people involved in meaningful ways. So there's a lot of engagement, a lot of rolling up your sleeves, making decisions together that matter, when suddenly you got a lot of early adopters. This standard deviation chart that many of you have seen is not a read it and weep chart. It's simply a way of saying this is the way that it often happens statistically. But you as leaders have options. So you can create a whole bunch of late adopters or people who are not going to adopt at all, or you can get a lot of people kind of working with you. Here's a chapter on diffusion networks, a full chapter on the change agent, change agents as linkers, factors in change agent success, and so on and so forth, innovation in organizations, and finally, consequences of innovations. The name of the book, again, is Diffusion of Innovations. It's Everett Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S.